Unit Blank Wrestling Report.
Welcome to the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. I am the big guy Ryback, joined by Raj Giri, WrestlingInc.com. This podcast is presented to you by Feed Me More Nutrition. Catch our Black Friday sale going on now. Save 30% with discount code BLACKFRIDAY30 on FeedMeMore.com. Raj, what's going on?
A lot, man. You know, there have been some weeks where it's been kind of a slow news week, but that is not the case this week. A lot going on. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Two months plus being vegan and feeling great and getting better and better. So hoping everything with the shutdowns, there's talk again with that. I don't know what's going on. I just know my stem cell procedure in Colombia is February 8th. And I'm hoping that they don't shut the borders, because that will really, really, we're already over a year. You know, it was supposed to be in April that I got these, and everything's been put on hold. So for me, that's been the frustrating part. And because everything that I do on social media all day is when you're going back or when the wrestling, and
right.
Nobody. So it would be nice to, you know, to put that behind me finally for half years.
Right.
But doing well.
Well, one thing you've made clear is when you do get back in the ring, you're not going to WWE. And
yes,
a lot of news this week. Of course, right after we recorded, just a couple hours later, the news broke that Zelina Vega was released.
Yeah.
Now, she had been kind of one of the more open WWE stars, active WWE stars, as well as Paige, who isn't active, that's been talking, who tweeted about unionization. She's had her Twitch channel, which is very successful. She actually makes more on that than she does with her WWE contract. And anyway, so she had been twitching. Obviously, we first broke at Wrestling Inc. last month about WWE issuing, giving talent 30 days to end their third-party accounts.
Yeah.
Actually, that was in September. Then in the beginning of October, they said it had to be ended that week. So by October 3rd, or October 2nd, rather. And then just days later, after everything was supposed to be closed, Zelina Vega opened an OnlyFans account where she was posting cosplaying pictures and just modeling pictures. You know, nothing nude or anything like that. Just regular pictures. But she opened it after this edict was announced. Apparently, she had had talks with WWE, and you know, they had warned her in the past about the Twitch and everything. Finally, she had continued posting on Twitch until November 6th, which was over a month after they were told not to have these accounts. And anyway, so a week later, after November 6th, on November 13th, she was released, and she was the only star released. It's interesting that right now there are a couple of NXT stars that are still twitching. They're on Twitch and active, but apparently for now, this only applies to the main roster. Andrew Yang has tweeted about Zelina Vega's release. SAG-AFTRA, the union headed by, you know, with Gabriel Kateris, who is the union president. She used to be on 90210. A lot of fans would know her from that. She was Amanda Zuckerberg. So she's been tweeting about it. So something that could get messy. So a lot there. Right back, your thoughts.
Now, did she change her Twitch name? Was she using their name, or did she have her real name on that? Do you know, as of when that happened?
I believe she changed it, and for OnlyFans, she was using a totally different name for sure. And
so, there's something that I would like to know. Like, so, if she never signed any paperwork with them, they can't technically. I promise you, what they did was probably illegal. Now, they could say they fired her for other reasons outside of that. But I think it was pretty apparent that they made an example of her because she didn't go along with the flow on the Twitch like everybody else. And because what they do is they create new paperwork. Mm-hmm. This is what they did when I was there. And they herd the talent into a room, and they force you to sign it, like literally adding to the contract. And it really puts people in a really, really tough position, because you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. And so I'm curious, if she's using her real name on that and she never signed that new paperwork, they could find themselves in a pretty, pretty messy situation. Now, I will say, from a legal standpoint, like if she chose to go that route, she would need the backing of somebody that wanted to just go after Vince, like an Andrew Yang, and somebody that would actually be able to probably finance that situation, because Vince and them would just if you go to court with them like that, you know what I mean? Even if you have 100%, it's going to end up costing a lot of money. And I don't know her financial situation, and I don't know what, and most of the time people are going to go, it's not worth it with that. But OnlyFans is a really, really, that's a tricky thing too, because so OnlyFans, you know, and it has the reputation of being, you know, with people using it for nudity and posting sex stuff and things like that. But that doesn't, you can create I can go create an OnlyFans and just post my social media and just say, I'm not posting on social media anymore. I'm only posting my life on OnlyFans. Yeah. And if you guys want to follow me on there and see what's going on, which is actually what I think way more beneficial, but that you'll get your real following that want to pay to keep up with you. And you can make a living doing it rather than doing it for free with Instagram that suppresses you and that sort of thing. So for her doing that on that, there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
That's not, and you can't sit there and say like that there's, because you could use OnlyFans for anything. I could literally just use OnlyFans to post me playing the guitar. If you want to see the big guy playing the guitar, join me on OnlyFans, whatever the case may be. But so that one, they would really, really be in hot water if they were, if that had anything to do with it on that. But I put out, I support her in a hashtag fuck WWE, and that did decent. And I mean that, and it's because it really bothers me that, you know, she's super talented, that more people, I get both sides of it. I never want to talk bad about wrestlers, but we're our own worst enemies in the specific, because when you're there, but you're making that money. So do I expect people to like all of a sudden jeopardize that and take a stand? Because the problem is, and this is what's happened, like nobody sees, she takes a stand, who else is with her?
Right.
Nobody, right? Nobody. Nobody. And that's why I put that out. And because it takes great courage to do that. And I guarantee you, she got a message from probably the majority of the talent there commending her and saying how much they respect her and this and that, but they publicly won't do a damn thing. And that's the problem. Now, if everybody that day, everybody in that company all together said, you know, if Roman said, guys, we're not doing this anymore, and literally held a talent meeting and said, no more. And Drew, the leader, right? Real leader would have done that, not just go with the flow. But again, and I love Drew and I love Roman. There's always going to be, you can't count on everybody because somebody's going to go tell the office and they're going to, you know what I mean? That's what happened. So that's where I get frustrated on that standpoint, but that's what it would take to at least give it a shot. But then you're dealing with two guys that are making a lot of money that are putting all that on the line, and they're that risking for what? For it's such a shady business and promotion altogether. And it's been bred that way from the beginning. So you can't hold them. You can't, you know, I just given examples, but I feel for her because it's really, you can see how crooked everything is with what they do. And I think she's going to have more opportunities. If I think she would fit in very nicely with AEW. And I think that's the best place. I think the sooner she goes there, the better when she's allowed with that, because she is just super talented.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. And famously in 1986, right before WrestleMania 2, Jesse Ventura was trying to get the wrestlers to unionize. Yeah. And then it came out in court later. Jesse Ventura found out that Hulk Hogan ratted him out to Vince McMahon, and Vince threatened to fire him. And it, you know, and that ended right there. So that was the closest it had ever gotten. And who knows what will happen. It doesn't seem likely. The SAG-AFTRA Twitter account last night, they tweeted out that they had a powerful conversation with Zelina Vega, and they said, we support her and others as they work to protect and empower themselves. So
it's not. And so I've said this before though, and I don't know if that's the correct thing with wrestling. I don't know. I just know that. So promotions all across the board, this isn't just wrestling promotions. You look at bodybuilding and fitness promotions. Those are just as shady as wrestling, if not more. Most of those people are injecting themselves with hormones and drugs and cutting their life short for a trophy, for not even like, while the promotions just keep all the cash. And so UFC is the same way. And we've seen, that's why Conor's the way that he is. And a lot of the fighters have the attitude. I'm anti-promotion in a lot of ways, because And I say anti-promotion from what it always was with shadiness. And that's why I think with like what AEW is doing at Tony Khan, I think this is the first time we've actually seen, we have a guy who's successful in life that comes and has money, but that's not his sole driving force. From everything that I've seen, it's creating a better environment. And he's more in tune today than a lot of other people I've seen. And like he's in line with a lot of these new CEO books I've read that understand people better and that believe in empowering other people. And that's where I'm like, that's why I'm so pro AEW with what they're doing. And to me, it's going to be the number one promotion because he's really, really in line with that. And so maybe unionization isn't the answer, but it's just having better people in charge that right. work. And, you know, AEW being a wrestler's promotion, having wrestlers in key positions, that is huge. And active mm-hmm. wrestlers that that with different backgrounds in life, with Cody, Omega, the Young Bucks, and these guys having Tony, that it's a different environment that I think we're going to see a lot of positive changes, which they've already done, and I think they're going to continue to implement. And I really, really am excited about it compared to what like WWE has done in the past and what they're continuing to do. Vince is fighting this. Like it's like he's just going to fight this until he dies. Like that's because that's just who he is. And I don't think the change comes fully there until he's gone. And I don't know if Hunter's the answer because Hunter comes from that background. And Hunter, I think, is a little more in tune than Vince, but he still's cut from that similar cloth of being in that family and being around and what Vince has taught him, much like Vince taught Dan with UFC. So, I don't know across the board how well a union would work. I just know that was why I was so hell-bent when I left when I was hurting that the company not being there, creating my own wealth outside of wrestling so that I could go back and just do what I love without being involved in all the bullshit. Yeah, and which I put myself in a very good position now, and being able to get everything back, and it's been a roller coaster. But it's promotions in general, I'm not a fan of from the way that they used to be have been run throughout the modern era. They take advantage of people, and that's where life's not fair. We all know this, but there's a lot with WWE. A lot of the fans too, the people they'll go, well, the talent know what they're getting themselves into. Oftentimes they don't. And now the other thing is you got to imagine. Imagine being gifted at something and working your whole life and then having very little say. Like the fact Zelina Vega was working for the largest wrestling promotion on the world on TV every week for years here and being used and highlighted, and she was making more money on Twitch. Mm-hmm. That goes to show what they do, and I've talked about this. They give you these low downsides, and they try to milk that as long as they can, and then eventually a little bit more down the road, but it's nowhere near. They're taking advantage of human beings so that, and what happens is when you leave there, most of the talent should have, man, if you worked there for 5 years, you should be good. Most people, they're not. That's why people have to stay there so long, which is why Vince has created that environment to try to hoard the wealth for himself, pays a few people good enough to keep the system kind of screwed up in the way that it is, and that people keeps you fucking where you're at. Everyone's like, it creates that hostile, negative work environment that doesn't be the case. And that's why I'm saying AEW, everything I've heard is the complete opposite, where they use the word team there. Man, that appeals to me as an athlete, as a wrestler, so much more than that WWE environment. Team, I can get behind that because now we're all working. If I put over that guy, we're working. That means we're working to build people. We're not just doing it just to do it, to bring down all our value, so that we're all 50-50 and the brand is a strong thing. We're actually trying to make stars. And that's where I don't agree with the business model of WWE and why they're ultimately going to fail is because it doesn't work. So, but man, I'm proud of her though, for taking a stand and having the courage that she did. And when nobody had her back. So.
Yeah. Elizabeth Fox in the chat saying there was such a problem when only a select few will stand up for something like this. I feel so bad for Vega and the stars getting affected by this whole situation.
Absolutely. And, you know, and people there, and this is, you know, you're making money when you're there.
Yeah.
And so here's the other thing too, Raj, that some of the fans don't, they'll be like, they should just be grateful. You don't understand like what you're actually sacrificing and doing and the amount of money. You got to look at the most gifted human beings on the planet are pro wrestlers with what they do overall and what they have to handle, especially with that travel schedule, what it used to be with Vince, but just the pressure and dealing with a lot of the things that they do. You and the hoard that wealth. I mean, everybody up there on TV should be a millionaire, Raj. And that's not just talking out of my ass, and that's not saying equal pay like that cuck Jim Cornette likes to try to go back and say. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a more balanced atmosphere where the pay scale is reflective of what the talent are actually earning the company on percentages and not being the lowest in sports and entertainment. Right. It sucks. And then when you leave there, I can't stress this enough. This is why I'll speak up. And what they did to me personally, not creative as that was the least of it, but that company was not there for me one bit. A company that I loved, a company that I worked my whole life to get to, not there for me at all. They're not there for any of the talent. They will stab every talent in the back the first chance they get. And they do. That atmosphere. So I'm proud. I'm so happy she's out of that environment, though, because I'm telling you, it might suck for a little bit and not seeing some of the people. She's going to be so much happier when she goes to another company. I mean, like, and she goes to AEW, she'll be the best decision she ever made, taking the stand for herself.
All right. We got one more super chat and then we'll move on to the next topic because we have quite a few here. Bryant Riv with the $10 super chat saying, if this gets a lot of coverage as WWE tries to cover it up with their positivity approach out of fear that they were looking bad and offer her job back, do you think she'll take it?
That's a decision she would have to make. You know, we've seen talent, you know, with Punk. You know, Punk kind of said some stuff in the past when he was there, and then he got offered the amount of money that he wanted. And he kind of just quieted up. Remember that? And with everything, and he quieted up and went back. And you know, but then ultimately, he hit his boiling point and he just walked out. But, you know, that's if she goes back in that atmosphere, this is what I told everyone. If they publicly apologized to me and paid me the money they owed me for the multimillion-dollar settlement they forced me to drop, and everything was in writing, that's the only way I would even remotely even think about performing for that company again. Like, yeah. It has to be in writing, because if not, they will screw you. Even then, I would be, that's the only way I would look at it and even think about it. It's not, I don't know. I think she's going to have opportunities to go elsewhere. And in the, like I said, it's not a good environment. So,
yeah. WWE officially announced this week that they are moving the Thunderdome to Tropicana Field in Tampa Bay. It's a 43,000 seat dome stadium, so it's indoors. They will not have fans, so fans won't be allowed. So it's just going to be the Thunderdome. I think a lot of people were hoping that they would have some fans in addition to the Thunderdome, so you get that mix, especially since it's in a big dome. And but they are not doing that right now. So no fans. It starts Friday, December the 11th with SmackDown. Yeah. And they will probably be there until WrestleMania. The plan right now is to hold WrestleMania at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa, where last WrestleMania was supposed to be. So, and then after that, they're not allowed to use Tropicana Field because Major League Baseball starts. So then they'll have to either find a new location, or the plan right now is to start touring. We got two vaccines that have shown 95% efficacy. They're hoping to get, you know, 20 million doses out in December. We'll have to see where it's at in March, how many doses are out, who's taking it, how well it's working. But as of right now, the plan is to stay at Tropicana Field through WrestleMania, have WrestleMania at the stadium, and then go from there.
I think that's you know, business-wise is what they have to do to keep everything running. And it's going to be – we get those vaccines out. And it, like you say, it's going to be looking at those numbers. I don't think any – I think all of us are pulling to get these things out, get it rolling, if that means opening back up and getting things going back to normal. But there's so much at play. Like, what's really going on? Who knows? We got everything with the presidency, with that whole thing. I'm hoping they get it out. And I talked to my doctor this week. I saw him, and he was telling me the same thing. And there's a lot of promise with these vaccines. And for the people that want them, I'll never touch this stuff. I don't need it. And I don't, like, a lot of people don't. But I think those that want it, that's what they think that they need to go back to be the normal, then let's get it going. And hopefully by the time WrestleMania comes around, you know, there's a crowd back, but this is going to be a week to week conversation of what they're going to, how this is playing out and what the news coverage is, what's the agenda they're trying to fill this week. I don't know, but it's promising. And I think business wise, they've covered themselves and they got that Thunderdome. As long as they can get that set up, you know, it's better than no crowd. Last WrestleMania, that hopefully is a once in a lifetime thing, that with the no people. And at the very least, I think we would have the Thunderdome for WrestleMania this year, if for whatever reason this is going on, which I just don't see it be going on much longer. So,
yeah. Some good news this week. Renee Young and, well, John Moxley just kind of subtly announced during a promo on AEW Dynamite that he and Renee Young are expecting. Kind of dropped it in the body of a promo during a wrestling show, which has to be the most low-key pregnancy announcement during a wrestling show ever. Yeah, him and Renee Young, they are expecting. Renee Young revealed that when she was going to let Moxley know the news, she accidentally texted Bailey the news. So Bailey was the first one to find out. Yeah.
That's pretty funny, actually.
So Bailey knew before Moxley, but
the names of their phone? Bailey and John, but imagine John's in her phone is John, unless she has her in there. It's like it's Boo or something. I don't know. That's
yeah, it could be Boo. Replying to the, you know, sometimes you reply to the wrong text. So just like the most recent one, and you just kind of
very possible. I like my theory of she has John in there as Boo. congratulations to them. She was actually supposed to do my podcast, and she was going to get back to me to do it on Wednesday this week, and then and I never heard back on a time, so I was in that happened, and I go, okay, that she must have just, that was recently just finding out, and but congratulations to them. That has to be exciting. And it was very Moxley, the promo, that was very fitting for the way that how it was announced. So I dug it.
Absolutely. Also, in other AEW news, AEW officially signed Matt Sydal, the former Evan Bourne in WWE. He had been appearing on AEW. He recently lost to Eddie Kingston, Brian Cage, but now he is officially with the company.
Big fan of him, man. And when he was Evan Bourne in WWE, you know, and he had his ankle injury and all that, I always thought he was a guy that always should have been in WWE, even though I think he had some personal things going on maybe for a period there. And I think it's all worked out for the best. He really found himself, and here he is in AEW. And I think he's, if he could stay healthy, and I think we look at a guy at him, I think he's much more figured in 1 year's time than even right now. I think he can go. He's talented, and he's always, if he gets some opportunity, and there's layers to his character that I think he can unveil with AEW. And not to say he has to be the main event act. I think they'll be a very valuable member of that. That's going to be figured from this time forward, moving on.
Absolutely. The Bella Twins have openly been talking about wanting to possibly return to WWE. Nikki Bella's husband, Artem Chigvintsev, said that there have been talks, that she has been in talks with WWE about her and Brie returning.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
That's, man, I would love to see a mixed tag for WrestleMania with her and the husband and maybe a six-man and then Cena and a couple other people. Let's do a mixed tag match for WrestleMania, a special attraction match. That's that would actually, I would tune in for that specifically.
That would get a ton of media.
Yeah, no, I should be a booker. I'm really creative. I'm not just kidding though. That would be a big thing to book. And personally, I think it would be great to watch them have to put a match together in that situation. But I think that's good. There's money in them. They've been out of the game. As long as they can get back and get the ring rust off, you know, people. And here's the other thing. And I know when you're a talent there, though, and you see people come back and they sucks. I can't let that's the ultimate though. That I remember seeing it. I go, man, I want to be in that spot. So I want to be Sting coming back and people hating me. Like this motherfucker could just walk in and get a spot. Like we've been killing ourselves for years. No, like that's what they do though, and that's the game, and that's you know. So I'm if there's an opportunity there, take it, make that money, and do it. And it doesn't matter what the other talent think; it's business. So, you know, they draw like they're probably the most well-known divas, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Probably in the history of the business, probably based off their following in the TV shows. So we could you can hate all day long.
Maybe Sable, yeah,
Sable and Trish was up there for a bit. I would say. But as far as this in the modern era with social media and the following and TV, in relevance wise, they're still very good with the following they have. From a business standpoint, it only makes sense to, from a company that is really struggling to get mainstream. Why wouldn't you do that, right? That's something you should do. You just don't make it the whole thing. But you have that on there. But if I'm in creative, I'm pitching to Vince, we need to do something with Nikki and Cena for Mania with that whole thing. That would be
huge.
Everybody's I don't know if John's going to be on board to sign on that, but if he loves the business like he says he was, he would do it.
Hey, he did the job for Britney Spears' ex-husband back in the day, so who knows?
He did. There's nothing he won't do.
So by the time a lot of people are listening to this, Survivor Series will happen. We're doing this live on a Friday. So make sure if you can join us at 1 p.m. Eastern on Fridays on YouTube and catch the show live. As we're heading into this weekend, Survivor Series is this Sunday. The Undertaker's big farewell. It's 30 years to the day that he debuted in WWE as The Undertaker at Survivor Series. They're making a huge deal out of this. Taker is just everywhere doing media. I mean, every media outlet has an interview with Undertaker. With an interview in Sports Illustrated, he was talking about his streak ending. And he said he wishes it wouldn't have been Brock that got the victory because Brock didn't really need it. He says it would have done a lot more for Roman Reigns than it would have been for Brock. So Reigns would have made a lot more sense to earn that victory. So Taker, you know, obviously saying he's fine. He was fine with the streak ending. He just felt like someone else could have used him more, specifically Roman Reigns.
Yeah. And they ended up doing it anyways with Roman but it was late after it would have been
a couple years later.
Yeah. You know, that's a tricky situation. Because you run the risk of with wrestling fans, Brock might've been the only guy they could have done it with that really didn't have backlash on him from a character standpoint because it's Brock. I think if you do it with anybody else, specifically a new talent, we've already seen with how the wrestling fans are. How do you think that fan base, if Roman would have beat him that year? Holy hell. I mean, there would have been people might have jumped the barricades, like some of those, how they act. You know, Brock's the one guy where it was like, I just think it was so believable that was why. And from a creative standpoint, it probably wasn't. Brock did not need it at all. It didn't. I don't think it made Brock any more special. Brock was already special at that point. It certainly doesn't hurt. But I understand, you know, from a creative standpoint, maybe if it was Roman, I think though he would have that period of Roman being booed would have been so much worse.
Right.
Way worse than because do I think over time that would have softened? Yes, but it's one of those situations where you're like, unless it's like a guy, especially a babyface wrestler, you know, maybe a heel if you're planning on being heel long term, that's, you know, and then a babyface turn years later, very possible that could have made sense. Then that could have worked. But, you know, Taker, though, wasn't ready. I don't know, man. It's great to know his input on it, the situation. And that just goes to show, you know, nobody there is above Vince's decision making.
Right.
It's Vince's company.
And that year, the year that the streak did end, you were at that, you were a part of that WrestleMania, but Roman was still a part of the Shield. He wasn't a single star yet. Yeah. And what do you remember? Did you watch that as it happened when the streak ended? Because I know at our place, everyone was in shock. What was the reaction like where you were at in the building?
We had already done, I'd wrestled already. And I don't remember which one that was. That me and, was that the one with me and Henry?
The tag team Fatal Four Way you were with.
Curtis New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Me and Dolph. Wasn't a fan of any of that. Me and Dolph were sitting in catering in front of the TV. It was a huge catering, and I remember we all just kind of just looked at each other, and like me and Dolph just go, like, we weren't expecting that. Nothing like crazy. It wasn't like, oh my god. It was just like, wasn't expecting that. And there were a lot of people backstage. Nobody knew what was going to happen. And I think everyone thought Taker was just going to stay undefeated, which, you know, there's mixed theories on all of that. Such a cool thing it would have been. But Vince, I don't think, likes anybody to be – that would have made Taker too big, I think, in even Vince's eyes with how Vince is business-wise. So, everyone was kind of shocked. I remember, and to touch on that, I remember – that first year, and when I had talks with, and I talked about this with Armando before, Estrada, that was on the show. But I remember one of the pitches was initially creatively, though, from our standpoint, was the undefeated streak and to get to, and not to beat Taker, but to get that match with a new star that's undefeated versus that streak felt would have drawn really, really well. Once they went the direction we went and got, when I got thrown into the main event, when Cena got hurt, that was all out the window. And I mean, that was done in 2012. So, but I remember that was like kind of an idea, nothing in stone, but like from my standpoint, I certainly, that was really, really exciting and something I would have wanted. But like I said, that as a baby face, if I would have beat him on that, that would have, you know, the backlash on that would have been enormous, even though it would have been, having a strong fan base would have been great. Also, I do think that potential, whoever it was, you know, it's a really tough situation because Undertaker's so loved.
Yeah.
And he's been there, like you said, longer than anyone. So, but, you know, Vince, it's his company. He does what he wants to do. And Taker's always been, you know, I'm sure he had his input. You give him your input. And anyone has the freedom to give Vince their input. But at the end of the day, he makes the call on what he wants to do. And, you know, Brock was the one who wanted to do it. So that's it. That was the right decision because that's what Vince wanted. It's his company. It's fake. So that was it.
Do you think that if you were in creative, would you have had the streak end?
If you're giving it to the right guy. And again, having these discussions openly on what on the guy in what the guy's doing and looking at numbers and from a business standpoint, I think, you know, and knowing what you want to do with Taker, I think if it's the right person, and like I said, you're able to take that momentum and transfer it over, it makes a megastar right away if you do it right. But it's also things, you know, Vince, I don't think it would have been bad leaving it undefeated. I think that would have been one of the great wrestling for WWE. Never, you know, unheard of, but it's entertainment at the end of the day. And the decision was made and nothing at the end of the day, everything's fine. His legacy's not hurt by it. It's all entertainment, all roles. He played the role of a loser for the first time at WrestleMania. And, you know, it got that reaction. You look at it though, the history, that's probably the most shocking WrestleMania moment of all time.
Mm-hmm. So, no, absolutely.
So they got what they wanted out of it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, this past week, Alexa Bliss was on interviewed by Maria Menounos. And during the interview, she just revealed that her current WWE contract expires in around 3 to 3.5 years. And she, after that, she's, you know, considering possibly, you know, starting a family and having kids. So, mm-hmm. So yeah.
I think that's very realistic and very and good to have her goals after wrestling. And especially with women, you know, you can't expect women to stay there in their 40s or 50s and not start a family. For a lot of women, that's, you know, a huge priority. For a lot of people, that's a huge priority that it ends up getting sacrificed in that business. So I think it's good that she's put that out there. Sometimes, though, you know, it'll be interesting to see what her career looks like towards the end. If they want to try to re-sign her, and then if you don't, there's that whole thing, which happens to everybody. So they don't like people leaving on their own. They don't.
Yeah.
So
Rhea Ripley lost to Io Shirai on NXT this past Wednesday night. Now it appears as if there's been talk of her moving to the main roster. And I remember hearing talk of that earlier this year. But apparently she might be moving to the main roster. I feel like especially Raw could kind of use her right now. But yeah. So possible roster switch there.
I don't know what to say to that really. I think, yeah, that's the goal is to get up there for the talent. But right now, if I'm a talent right now, I'm hoping almost like wait till there's a crowd just for anything. But they're all performing without one right now. So I would say though, it's a good opportunity and you'd like to see people have opportunities. That's what the business is about. And if she can go up there and contribute, then, you know, she'll welcome her with open arms. So it's just all depends if she likes being in NXT or not. I don't know what her situation is. Some of those talents don't want to leave there. I know, you know?
Yeah. Finally, the ratings this past week, AEW and SmackDown did a good number. AEW did one of their best numbers in the 18 to 49 demo of the year. I'll start with SmackDown last week. Last Friday's episode of SmackDown did 2.234 million viewers on Fox. It's only down 3.3% from the same time last year. And that last year was when they had fans. So SmackDown has really seen an increase since the summer when their ratings were tanking. And they did a 0.6 in the 18 to 49 demo, down from the 0.7 last week. But the week before had a huge rating for the Sasha Bailey match. And this week didn't really have that same hook. But a good rating for SmackDown, 2.23 million viewers.
They've stayed consistent, whether more so than any of the other brands. So as far as in WWE.
Now Raw was good news and bad news for Raw. It did 1.8 million viewers, but it had a heavily hyped Drew McIntyre versus Randy Orton WWE championship match. And so it was up 5% from last week, but interestingly enough, the first hour still was the biggest hour, which is the case pretty much every week. The final hour, so it did 1.87 million viewers in the first hour. And the third hour that had the title match, it did 1.7 million viewers. So the drop from hour one to hour three was actually the smallest drop that they've had in a long time. And the third hour, it was the best viewership for the third hour since the Thunderdome debuted on August 24th. But in the 18 to 49 demo, they were down to a 0.51, which is one of their lower 18 to 49 demo ratings. One of the lowest that they've had since the Thunderdome debuted. So again, good news and bad news with that number.
Yeah, the Raw's really, they haven't been able to figure it out. And that's a big match they built. And with Drew winning the WWE champion again, I think internally you'd probably want to see those numbers a little higher. Mm-hmm. But it's not right now. Everything's kind of, it's just all kind of just been hovering around. It's like we've talked about it. Like, what do you do? Do you bring out the big guns? For how often can you do that with this if it's really not going to move the needle? At the same time, you got to try. Still, you can't just mail it in completely. And they're in a tough position. You know, I want to see what Raw does with the crowds. I want to see if Raw goes back to being the top show, or if they're going to stay number two with them in SmackDown. And I think they, WWE, though, once they get a crowd back, they got to look at making some moves to get that number back up for that show. USA certainly is going to want them to. And they got to reverse that trend that they've been on over the 20-plus years.
Yeah. Finally, AEW Dynamite just smoked NXT this past week. They did one of their best numbers of the year in the 18 to 49 demo, and also a huge number just with overall viewers for that show. They did 850,000 viewers, which was up 11% from last week, beating NXT's 638,000 viewers by 33%. It was one of the widest margins in total viewers that they've had. And another interesting thing is AEW actually beat Raw this past week in the 18 to 34 demo. AEW scored a 0.27 rating in that demo, while Raw scored a 0.24. So any demo victory over Raw, which is not, it is running, it is opposed against Monday Night Football, but not against another wrestling show, while Dynamite is up against NXT. And they're beating it in that young demo, not the key 18 to 49 demo, which, you know, takes into account 35 to 49, but in that younger 18 to 34, AEW beating Raw this week, a rare win in that demo, but they did it.
That has to be internally for them fantastic in everything they're doing. I've said it, it's just sit back. And I said before, and whatever it's going to be, 11 more months or whatever it is, I think they're going to be the top wrestling promotion in many, many ways with everything they're doing and the talent they're building and the moves they're making. I'm telling you, they're going up against a company that had, you know, 40 plus years experience on them. And they're doing this very, very quickly. From a wrestler standpoint, this is the most beautiful thing going on in the business, because my generation, the little before me and after, we didn't have this. Now we have an option. And it's an option that, one, treats wrestlers better, and just overall is a better work environment. And I think is going to create a better product the more experience they get doing this. They're gonna get better.
Absolutely. So very impressive. As you mentioned, a little over a year ago, they weren't even on TV, and here they are beating Raw in one demo. And you know what always tends to happen is once one demo goes, then you start seeing the others before you start seeing something. And a lot of that has to do with Raw's decline, and Raw, that third hour is just killing it.
Yeah, but the process has begun, and it takes time. And people can say what they want to say, that they have begun the process of taking over pro wrestling. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And like, even into this week on the show, we didn't talk about it, the Chris Jericho, the slaying Las Vegas. I thought that was so that was one of the favorite things I've seen in wrestling in a while with that. And I thought it was just so good. That is character development right there, though. You watch that and you get to see it. And whoever put that together, man, round of applause. And that thing just... It's so simple in a way, probably, but it does so much for those guys individually and as a group. Now I'm more invested in them than I've ever been after watching that, because it's just adding stuff like that, and that is storytelling and getting now, and like, we know some of those people, and you can see they're setting up like kind of stories within this story itself. You know, I love what they're doing with Wardlow and Hager. It gives me the vibe of like when I see them, with the drinking, the Mighty Ducks, D2 with the Bash Brothers in the movie, where they were like enemies, kind of like going. And then all of a sudden, they realized to put their powers together, and like we're like, I see that going on. Like I go, that could be a pretty good story, or you could just have conflict there the whole time, and that works. But like they're telling it, and I go, that's taking that time, and Chris has his finger on the pulse and all that. But that, and then, you know, having Conan make an appearance and Hornswoggle, and just like, I thought it was just, it was that you don't see that often. That to me, that surprise element. I go, that was enjoyable.
And it's and when they did the smoke coming out of the limo, when Conan made his appearance, they would never do that in WWE. No.
Exactly. And, you know, even the, which one was it? Was it Ortiz that clearly did the cocaine? That to me, when I saw that, I go, that's something WWE wouldn't do, probably, because they'd be afraid of the backlash. It's like, clearly Ortiz did cocaine that night at some point with the guys based on from that storyline. And I thought that was so good, man. Like, I literally laughed watching that. I go, holy shit, that's so Vegas.
Exactly. Anyone that's been to Vegas can relate.
You got a friend that decides to go a little too hard. And but like, just though, that I've lived that, though. I've woken up like that in Vegas years ago, where you're like, oh my God. And not to that degree, but like where you're just like, the hangover is a real thing for a lot of people out here. You just go. And then all of a sudden you're like, what happened? And like just them telling that story in a very condensed form, I thought was great. Everyone gets that, because that's everyone's stereotype of Vegas anyways. And then those guys, so man, and that's the creative stuff where you could see where guys got to put some input in. You know, and they're like, how about that's where when you do that and minds start coming together, that's that team element there. Real magic is start. That's, man, that segment goes down as one of the great segments in wrestling to me, entertainment wise. I thought that's something that's going to have legs for a long time.
Yeah.
I want to see another. Not. I want to see the Hangover 2 of them now. Like, they go to like Africa or some other safari and put together a little skit down there for me.
Yeah, no, it's super entertaining, and Jericho and MJF, they're just nailing it out of the park. We got one more super chat. Big Cloud Gaming with the $5 super chat is saying, AEW is definitely amazing. I love how they are building Darby Allin. By any chance, Ryback, are you interested in joining AEW in the future?
You see, Raj, this is where I say, and I do multiple things on social media throughout the day, and I'm always like fascinated. It's the questions are the same no matter how many times I've specifically answered them. And I get that people, not everyone watches everything, but that's again the number one promotion that I am interested in when I get my last stem cells in February, and that would be where I would like to go and finish my career at, hopefully, when everything is in, if there's an opportunity and business can be done, you know. But I'm excited about pro wrestling because of that one company. So
Well, on that note, thanks as always for having me. It's been a busy week, and a happy Thanksgiving to everyone in the States that's listening.
Absolutely, and likewise to you, Raj, and thank you for everything. Always have a good time doing this show every week. Anything you want to plug to wrap up?
Yeah, sure. You keep, as always, keep checking out wrestlinging.com. We have tons of news and exclusive content. We have exclusive interviews just this past week with the Young Bucks, Victoria from WWE, the Blue Meanie, Sabio Vega. So keep checking out wrestlinging.com. Tons of cool stuff coming up, including next week. We're kind of taking a deep dive into China and her passing. We have interviews with her mother, her producer, the people that found her. And so it's going to be over 4 days. Check out wrestlinging.com next week.
Good deal. That seems really interesting. I'd like to check that out when it's done. And guys, Feed Me More Nutrition on feedmemore.com. Our Black Friday sale has begun. Save 30% with discount code BlackFriday30 on feedmemore.com. We have that image on the homepage as well with the instructions on that. Thank you guys very much for listening. You've just listened to another episode of the Shooting Blanks Wrestling Report. Feed me more.